I wish we had been recording for patrons when I explained how Roger and I make a complete cake eater. So we could have gotten Veronica's legitimate response to that.
Jen once
Which is probably the most reasonable response a human would have.
Once made a pie with a cake in the middle.
What? A pie with a cake in the middle?
Yeah, it was just like you bake a cake. You
Why
bake
would you
a
do
cake.
That?
Well, we wanted it's to like try it. Yeah, but you really need a filling. You need like a fruit filling in the end because really you're just eating a lot of pastry and
Why would you ruin a perfectly good pie by putting cake in the middle of it?
What's my kid doing? It's kind of weird looking at Veronica. It looks like you have like a Star Trek communicator in your hand. Like you're just talking to Scotty on the ship. Beam down another case of cold brews.
What? When did Star Trek ever say beam down a case of cold brews?
They should. That's a missed opportunity.
Well, maybe Star Trek Discovery will fix that.
Yeah, I want them to go to a sandy planet and then beam down beach supplies and they can just have like a huge barbecue.
Sounds like a pseudonym.
Huge barbecue?
Sandy planet.
Sandy planet.
Yeah. Like a science fiction writer. Starring Sandy Planet.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sandy Planet. It's another stage name. Emilio.
Roger.
No,
Chang.
Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen, Martin Sheen.
Did you see any bears this weekend, Veronica?
No, I did not.
That's good. Probably.
But we were apparently very, very close to a run-in with a mountain lion.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
We were, we just crossed a river crossing, and there was another woman on the trail with us with this very small wiener dog.
Oh, no.
And we had just seen her. We had seen her a couple days before also, so we recognized her. And so she went on ahead of us while we were putting our shoes back on and having a snack. And when we caught up with her on the trail about a quarter mile down, she was like sitting on a log with the dog. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's weird. She must be taking a break.
Yeah, right.
And as we got closer, she was like, hey, so just had a mountain lion encounter.
Oh, man.
And we were like, what? And she was like, yeah, it just crossed in front of the trail about 50 feet ahead of me.
Uh-huh.
And I knew you guys were going to be coming up, so I just decided to wait here for you.
Nice.
So like, so we could all walk together.
Yeah.
We both have the dogs. And so we just walked with her for another couple miles. And we didn't see it again. We were one of the things you can do is bang your poles together.
So that they get scared off.
By so the they noise. Know where you are.
Yeah. They're like, give you a wide berth.
Because they don't really want to, really want to run into you. You're not.
But you have a small dog with you.
But if you have a small snack with you, like a wiener dog.
Yes, then they might. That's like a cake in the middle of a pie for them.
It's an interesting thing because generally you won't know they're there until they.
No. Generally, you won't know they're there, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's she why happened most, to sneak up on her.
Most mountain lions who do find work find it with the NSA.
It's those big paws of theirs. They have very big paws. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying mountain lions are lazy, but many of them do not find work.
Yeah. They drift from one place of their large ranging territory to another.
They choose to live off their inheritance.
Wait, where were you hiking at?
Which is speed
we're
and
We're in the
fangs.
Trinity Alps.
The Trinity Alps are where?
They're up near, do you know where Shasta is? Mount Shasta?
Mount Shasta? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. There, it's the Shasta Trinity Wilderness.
Gotcha.
That's where they used to make the Shasta soda.
Yeah.
Was that so?
Shasta.
Well, not at the mountain top.
At the very top of the mountain.
That seems inconvenient.
But that's what gave it its superior flavor.
Yeah. Now, all I get is coyotes in the streets around here early morning or late in the evening.
That's normal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have coyotes in our neighborhood.
We get possums. There's supposedly coyotes in our neighborhood a little farther north, but I don't think they've ever made it this far down. We used to have them all over the place in San Rafael, though.
Yeah,
they're super common up there.
Mm-hmm. We'd hear them dancing around and howling and carrying on, especially
just
on
like
weekends,
the
weekends, you know, get drunk.
Google gobble, Google gobble.
Okay, this is just wrong, BBC.
Oh, no. What did they say?
Well, hold on. I haven't finished.
Oh.
So BBC has a story called The 24 Best Podcasts to Make You Smarter. Our friend Molly mm-hmm. Wood co-hosts a show called Make Me Smart. You'd think that with her and Kai Rizdahl doing a show called that, that would show up on this list.
That's weird.
I mean, there's a lot of good podcasts on this list. Don't get me wrong.
Am I on that list?
I don't think any of us are on this list, which is a crime.
Damn it.
I don't know. I mean, it's not really a crime. Okay. I'm exaggerating. I do not believe the BBC should be hauled in front
Salon's,
of a barrister.
I was on Salon's list today, this weekend, of 12 podcasts that explore the human side of tech.
Oh, nice.
I was number 12, but still.
But still, you're on the list.
Yeah.
And when
we only have two episodes out.
I assume you mean IRL.
I do.
Not Sword and Laser.
Not Sword and Laser. Doesn't really explore the human side of tech, unfortunately.
Now, I just saw something swing by after on from the Boing Boing.
From the Boing Boing.
From the Boing Boings on Twitter. Yeah. After On, a novel of Silicon Valley startup by Rob Reed. Oh, it's just a review. I mean, not just a review, but it probably doesn't talk about our podcast. Just saying.
My internet's being weird and slow.
Well, you just tell your internet to stop it. You've had a hard weekend of not being eaten by a bear or a mountain lion.
That's right.
And the last thing you need
or
to deal with is slow internet. A mountain bear lion.
Especially not a bear mounting a lion.
We're dangerously close to something we'll all regret.
I'm already regretting it. bears.
Good for bears. The heart.
Yeah, good for the gallbladder too. At least their gallbladders are good for something.
So We Have Concerns, latest episode, was about dogs eating your face.
Wait, what?
There's a National Geographic article talking about mm-hmm. why it is that dogs eat their dead owners.
Oh, okay. And what do we got?
Particularly go for the face first.
Hmm.
Anyway, We Have Concerns does a great job of breaking down the entire article. But the short version, and you'll still have fun getting there. If you haven't.
Oh, good. Okay.
The short version is they don't really know, but they think it has to do with concern. That the dog is like, hey, why aren't you moving? Why aren't you breathing? Mm-hmm. And they start trying mm-hmm. to lick your face.
And then like, oh, you're tasty, realize, actually.
You're not doing anything. You're not using the face anymore. They just kind of dig in.
Hmm. Like, while I'm here.
It's canine tapas.
You know, I'm sad that you're gone,
but
I'm happy
also
that you're
hungry.
So delicious.
Maybe it's
mostly,
all the ointment. What if, is it because we put ointments on our face, like creams?
No,
and I don't think they said anything about that. Mm. It's mostly just because we're fresh.
And there.
And there. And dogs are very practical, you know.
What if you wore like a hood over your face? Like, would they eat it and they just start in your hands? Because, you know, your face is...
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know how you conduct that study ethically, but it would be interesting if you could to find out, like, oh, okay, if you cover the head, would they start
like
with the hands?
If someone died while they were in a bathing suit, would they go for the stomach instead? Or?
Well, no, because the dog's... I mean, my dogs will lick my face to get my attention, like, in the morning you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but they'll also lick my hands if they can't get to this.
Mm.
They do not eat me though, because I am alive.
You are still alive.
And they like me, at least so far. Sawyer's not liking me a lot these days. He's had a cone on for 5 days.
What's going on?
He got an first of all, he broke his dew claw. And then it got infected. So we thought it was fine, because after a couple days it looked like it was healing just fine. And then I think he was sneaking licks when we weren't looking. So it got all swollen up. So now the vet's like, he's going to have the cone on for 10 days. I'm really sorry. But you really have to keep him away from it. And it's definitely helping. The claw's, you know, looking a lot better. But poor guy. That's a long time.
It's a long time. Poor puppies.
Yes. At least Ray's doing great.
Well, as long as you have one good dog.
Well, Sawyer's like, you know, 9/10 of a good dog. It's just the cone. And honestly, it's fine for us. It's him that really minds it.
Well, when he passes on, you can eat his face.
If we can get to it with the cone.
Well, that's perfect. Now you have something to cook it in.
Maybe I'll wear a cone.
God. I don't know if that would help. It would just be like eating a meat cone they get like at the ferry building.
You get a meat cone at the ferry building?
Oh, I don't, but you can get them.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a cone made out of like sliced meat. It's a meat cone.
Oh, so it's kind of like a kebab.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is from a butcher.
And what are
it's not like a kebab.
What do they fill it with?
Meat.
So it's a meat cone filled with meat. It's a lot of meat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or is the cone like plastic or paper, and then they fill that with meat?
It's like wrapped in paper.
All right. Still a lot of meat.
I don't think it's a standalone cone.
So it's like kind of like a shawarma without an edible.
Is it soft
wrapper.
Serve?
I don't know.
All right, we're almost ready. Stop talking to you about meat cones. But just think of how much more fun your day is now that you've chatted with us, right? Right? No?
Right?
You're not answering.
Right?
Right?
Right? Right.
All right, I gave you control, right. Roger.
Thank
all the
you,
control
sir.
That you ever want.
I'll hide.
Okay. Ms. Belmont, are you ready?
I guess, sure.
Have you anticipated any misspellings or strange pronunciations that I may have thrown your way?
No, I'll just do my best as always. Is this audio as good as it's going to get?
Your audio sounds good, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Let's rock.
The Tech News Show is powered
by
its
listeners.
Let's do
that again.
What happened?
I forgot to turn up the volume on the iPad. Okay, here we go.
The Daily Tech News Show is powered by its listeners, not outside organizations. If you get value from the show, consider giving a little back. As little as $1 a month keeps great tech news and analysis coming your way commercial free. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, July 10th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt alongside Veronica Belmont, host of IRL, a new podcast from Mozilla, and host of this show right now. How's it going, Veronica?
I was not eaten by a bear.
You were not eaten by a bear. Those of you who may listen to Sword and Laser know that Veronica was backpacking with a group of bears. Do I have that wrong? Is that
yeah, no, that's about right.
No, you were backpacking this weekend. You were, you know, in bear country. So you were very much hoping not to get eaten by a bear, and you didn't. Good job achieving your goals.
Thank you. It was tough work, but, you know, I feel good about it.
I have a new acronym we're going to explore in today's show.
Oh, yeah?
DIFM.
Okay, I'm ready.
Does not involve dying or fires. It's do it for me. Instead of DIY, it's DIFM.
Do it for me. I like that.
Yeah.
I like it.
Amazon's getting into the game. Of course, Geek Squad's been doing this for a long time. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. Let's start off with a few tech things you should know about. China has told its telecommunications carriers to block individual access to virtual private networks by February 1st. Of next year. Corporations will be allowed to run their own VPNs, but are warned to confine them to internal use. So this is going to stop the small ways of getting around the Great Firewall.
That's, I depended wholly on Viper VPN when I was in China, and that is, this is a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, corporations are being given a lot of leeway, especially international corporations. They can lease individual lines still. They can operate their own VPNs. But yeah, if you're a tourist, an individual user, I'm not sure what your options are going to be.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, yeah, if you don't work for a corporation that's going to let you do that.
Yeah, right.
And in fact, a lot of companies, if you're traveling for pleasure and not for business, won't even let you sign on to your email.
Yeah.
Or use any company gadgets like laptops or phones. So that would make it increasingly difficult. Oof. Twitter, meanwhile, has added options to automatically mute notifications from newly registered accounts, people you don't follow, and people who don't follow you. These can be configured in the notifications, settings, advanced filters.
Yeah, there are already a couple of options, like if somebody has a default image, for instance, you can mm-hmm. not see their notifications, but these are new ones being added to that.
I do find that ignoring notifications from people who don't have a profile picture really does get rid of a lot of the random trolls.
A lot of
trolls.
Spammy stuff, mm-hmm. a lot of bots, mm-hmm. yeah. Financial services startup Stripe has announced a partnership with Alipay and WeChat Pay so that any Stripe-powered website can accept payments through those services. WeChat Pay and Alipay have a combined total of more than 1.1 billion users, mostly in China. Stripe previously partnered with Alipay for integration with U.S. businesses using Stripe, but this one will be worldwide. Just another way of trying to get to that huge market of Chinese consumers.
Very cool. That sounds like a good partnership.
Yeah. Good for Stripe. Good for WePay.
Yeah. Good for them.
Your WeChat. Good for Alipay. All right. Here's some more top stories. At its Inspire conference, Microsoft has announced a new program called Microsoft 365. Microsoft 365 Enterprise launches August 1st. It'll let businesses buy Office 365 Enterprise, Windows 10 Enterprise, and Microsoft's Enterprise Mobility and Security features as a single subscription. So,
wow.
One Microsoft is becoming really like
one bundle to rule them all.
Yeah, right. There's another bundle for smaller businesses called Microsoft 365 Business that will go into public preview on August 2nd. That combines Office 365 Business Premium with some security and management features for Office and Windows 10. That'll eventually run $20 per user per month. Microsoft also launched its Azure Stack for local implementation so that you're not using Microsoft Cloud Services, you run it yourself. That lets companies buy equipment from Dell, HP, and Lenovo, and those will start shipping in September.
So I'm sorry, three bundles to rule them all.
That's right. One bundle to rule them all in the enterprise, one bundle to rule them all in smaller businesses.
And an Azure bundle to bind them.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. And in the blueness, not darkness, bind them.
Get it. Anyhow, Oculus has reduced the price of its VR headset bundle, another bundle story. For the next 6 weeks, a Rift headset and motion controllers will sell for $399, a $200 price drop. The Rift and Touch each got a $100 price drop for their solo sales this spring to $499 for the headset and $99 for the controller.
Yeah, so Oculus keeps slashing the prices because that's where the impediment is, right? For a long time, the mm-hmm. impediment was developers getting people to make apps. Well, now they feel like they're getting enough apps. They're just not getting enough users for the apps, so you slash the prices again.
Yeah, I hope this will help. I mean, you know, especially if they do another one before the holiday season, that could be pretty good for them.
You're still talking about $1,000 to use this if you don't have a computer already that can handle it. Maybe you do. If you have a computer already, then $400 starts to be, you know, that starts to be at least reasonable. But if you're like, I'm going to have to get a new computer and I'm not ready for a new computer, then you're talking at least $650, $700 for the cheapest possible one that can run the Rift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barely.
And you're probably going to want to spend more for this or that reason. So it's still not cheap enough for most people, I don't think.
I know. I'm still going to go for that Google Cardboard.
Yeah. Or Daydream VR or
any number of options.
Yeah. I mean, cardboard, like literally cardboard, is your cheapest option.
Yeah.
This next story is crazy. Sunday, the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department in New Mexico reported that a Google Home had called the Sheriff's Department to interrupt a domestic dispute. And you'll see headlines saying Google Home calls 911 to interrupt a domestic dispute.
Well, that headline says Amazon Alexa.
Well, here's why. The original police report noted that Alexis, A-L-E-X-I-S, a Google smart radio, overheard the phrase, "Did you call the sheriffs?" and called 911. Now, we won't bother to point out all the problems with that. I think you can guess most of them yourselves. We will clarify that, in case you didn't know, neither the Google Home nor the Amazon Echo can actually call 911. In fact, there's a specific prohibition against Amazon Echo skills being able to call 911. That's to prevent accidental dialing. Mashable's Lance Ulanoff looked into all of this. The couple in question do have an Amazon Echo in the house. It was not a Google Smart Radio, which I don't know what that is.
What?
It's an Amazon Echo, and they have it hooked up to speakers throughout the house. A call was, in fact, placed to the sheriff's department, and someone can be heard on the call telling Alex A. to call 911. And the best guess is that what happened is that the part of the report that said the phrase, "Did you call the sheriffs?" was uttered, probably was interpreted by the Echo as "call the sheriff's department," and that the sheriff's department was in the contacts that had been added to the Echo when it added calling, and therefore it called the sheriff's department from the contacts.
So wait, so they say, at least in this blurb that, that you wrote, that the 911 call was placed, and that in the recording of that call, you can hear them saying the phrase, you know, "Did you call the sheriffs?" So I don't understand how that could be recorded on the 911 call.
Well, the police report says that the Google smart radio overheard the phrase, "Did you call the sheriffs?" But the recording of the phone call from the device in question, you can hear someone telling the Echo to call 911. So the best guess is someone said, "Did you call the sheriff's department?" Angry, angry, angry. And Echo called the sheriff's department. Neither one of them realized it. And then one of them yelled, "You call 911, and that's what was heard, because the call had already been placed by that point.
Okay. So, the timeline of this is very confusing.
Yeah, seriously.
In my mind now, they have two devices, and the two devices overheard the argument and decided independently that they were both going to call and record the situation.
No device ever called 911. There is no such thing as a Google smart radio. And as far as Lance Ulanoff from Mashable could determine, they only have an Amazon Echo in the house, not a Google Home.
Oh, people who don't understand technology trying to explain how the technology works sometimes is too hilarious.
We're
going to
find out
effect.
That in New Mexico, there's a test market for the Google smart radio, and it can call 911, and then we're all going to feel stupid.
And it's already saved 50 lives.
Yes, exactly.
In the test market. Who knew? Researchers at Stanford developed an algorithm that can detect 14 types of heart arrhythmia more reliably than a cardiologist. The researchers used data from iRhythm wearable ECG devices to train a neural network over 7 months. In a test comparing the AI to 6 cardiologists, the AI performed well and even had better success differentiating 2 similar arrhythmias, one of which is harmless and the other of which requires immediate attention.
I mean, this is just a cool story of AI being used as a diagnostic aid, which we're seeing more and more of.
And can you imagine if you have a wearable device in the future that can actually say to you, "Hey, like your arrhythmia is behaving weirdly," or you suddenly have an arrhythmia or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Veronica Belmont is not Dr. Belmont. but it does seem like we are getting very close to a point in time where wearable devices that anyone can own that are probably pretty inexpensive or relatively achievable for most people will be able to detect and alert doctors or healthcare professionals that something is out of order.
Yeah.
I mean, we already have this in pacemakers. There's already internet connected devices like that for diabetics, for example. So it's kind of like we're moving into the next stages of what's possible for health monitoring.
Yeah. I mean, these iRhythm wearables, you could do exactly what you're saying. You could just wear them and have them monitoring you if you know you're at risk. And like you say, if they see something or they sense something odd, they can not only alert you, alert your doctor, but potentially even say, "Oh, this is one you really need to take seriously right now," versus, "This is one next time you go into the doctor, have them check. You know, it's probably not.
Take a look."
Yeah.
Right.
But again, a lot of times the temptation is like, the AI is better than the cardiologist. And I've seen headlines say that regarding the story. And in one case, it does seem to be true. But that's not even the point. The point is the cardiologist can now get help and speed up diagnosis and detection. I think your emphasis on detection is exactly right.
Yeah, what I really want, I want a wearable like a Fitbit or something like that I can wear. And then if I get, so I get migraines. Mm. And my biggest fear is that someday I'll actually, this is going to get real dark for a second. I'm sorry. My biggest fear is that I will actually have a brain aneurysm.
Oh God.
And yeah. I'll think it's a migraine and I won't get it treated. And I'll just take my regular medicine and try to sleep it off. And then I'll wake up dead. Or not wake up dead. Oh. And so like if I could have a wearable that would tell me, no, actually your blood pressure is plummeting right now. Yeah. Like you need to go to the hospital.
My brain went to like, you want the wearable that says you're fine. This is just a migraine because that's what it's going to be most of the time. But yeah, you also want it if it's like, you know what? You really should go to the doctor right this
Something's
second.
Something's wrong. Yeah. You should probably call an ambulance.
But yeah, I mean, and that stuff is happening. Those AIs are being developed. The wearables are there. We need to work out the intricacies of cloud services that are HIPAA compliant and protect your privacy and make you an informed consumer and all that. But that is even being worked out as well.
Oh, yeah. Totally. So, totally.
Yeah. I like it. Wired reports that Space Data is a really cool name for a company. But also, Space Data is a company that has provided commercial wireless service from balloons since 2004. Now, you may think, wait a minute, isn't Google doing that? Well, yeah, Alphabet's Project Loon, which used to be Google X's Project Loon, is working on that. That's the problem. This company, Space Data, doesn't do it on the large balloon scale that Alphabet has been doing it recently, but they do it with weather balloons, which is where Project Loon started. And the whole point of bringing this up, Space Data has succeeded in getting one of Alphabet's Project Loon patents canceled due to prior art. Space Data has been granted that patent. So not only did they say, hey, wait a minute, we've been doing this before, and so Alphabet shouldn't hold this patent because we did it first. Patent Office said, no, you're right. That patent's now yours, Space Data. And now Space Data can use it in a lawsuit it is pursuing against Alphabet, alleging the company misappropriated patents, stole trade secrets, and breached contracts, mostly non-disclosure agreement contracts, after considering acquiring Space Data in 2008. And if you read this Wired story, which is really well done, it explains that basically Project Loon, Google, which was operating Project Loon through Google X at the time, was bidding on wireless spectrum to drive up the price for Verizon and to force some net neutrality rules in place. This is back in 2007. And they were worried that they were going to win. And they're like, if we win, what do we do? Because we have to use the spectrum to keep it. And so Space Data came to them and said, buy us. We're doing balloon internet. It'll be really cheap to roll this out. And you can do your 40% coverage of the U.S. a lot cheaper. Google did a bunch of meetings with them and took down notes and signed NDAs. And then a few years later, Space Data says, wait a minute, you guys seem to be doing what we were doing. And when it was clear that Verizon was going to win the spectrum, you just stopped talking to us in 2008.
It's dirty business.
It feels that way. Usually I look at these and I try to look at it from both sides and say, okay, you know, nobody usually wants to play dirty. Sometimes they do, but usually they don't. But this really feels like, I mean, I think it's true that Alphabet or Google probably did say, wait a minute, Verizon's going to win this, so we don't need to buy that company anymore. But wow, it also seems from the USPTO's point of view that they started doing things that were too similar to what Space Data had done after Space Data spent a lot of time showing them what they do.
Yeah, that's the tough part. I mean, if you can prove you've had meetings, if you've got like the time of those meetings and can prove what you've shown them. And if the dates line up, that's definitely going to be problematic.
Yeah.
So this is Alphabet.
This is one to watch. And don't forget, Google is fighting in Europe a couple of antitrust cases. And there was one just recently decided on a fine. Google is also fighting Alphabet, not Google anymore. But Alphabet is fighting through Waymo against Uber. And now they may be fighting Space Data in court as well. Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each
fight.
Day, Google fights. If you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, you can subscribe to our sister show, Daily Tech Headlines, at dailytechheadlines.com on your Amazon Echo. whether it's a Google Smart Radio or an Amazon Echo, and of course Anchor, the Anchor app at anchor.fm. So, DIFM, I mentioned it, is the opposite of DIY. It's do it for me, not do it yourself. A lot of companies are getting in on this. There's a company called Enjoy, led by retail vet Ron Johnson. Their approach is to sell you gadgets with the promise of free delivery by someone who can set it up for you, which is kind of a cool deal for people who are like, yeah, I would like to have that, but I don't want to mess with it. It's going to be free. It's going to be delivered by somebody who's going to show up and set it up. Great. There's HelloTech. HelloTech sells its services that match customers with companies providing services, like hanging up your television, setting up your smart home. But they also white label their service for companies. Samsung and Ring both use them. So if you go to Samsung and you buy something, or if you go to the Ring doorbell service and buy something and ask for Ring to set it up, it will really be HelloTech that is powering that service. Mm-hmm. And of course, Geek Squad's been doing this forever, right? That's the heritage service from Best Buy. I think I used a Geek Squad person to help me with a Windows 98 problem. That was the last
time. They came to your house. Yeah, I've never had someone come to the house before. I've sent them to my mother's house before.
Yeah, that's the last time I used Geek Squad, but that's also how long they've been around. So the news today is that Amazon is jumping into this. They're staffing up on experts to advise consumers on Echo devices and smart homes. In-home services are currently available in 7 markets: Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Jose, and Orange County. So mostly California, definitely on the West Coast. According to Amazon job listings, they're hiring in cities like Tampa Bay, Hoboken, New Jersey, Miami, Orlando, Houston, Dallas, Las Vegas. Preferred qualifications include past work as an Apple Genius or a Geek Squad double agent. And they charge about what these other services have been charging, which isn't cheap. For instance, $99 to set up an Echo B4 Amazon Voice Services enabled smart thermostat. You can get some Alexa smart home consultations for free if you want some help setting up an Amazon Echo. But they've got good reviews. If you go to amazon.com/smart, you can see what's available. 95% of the 551 reviews for the free consultations are rated 5 stars. What do you think of this? What do you think of this DIFM? Is it because of the widening of technology to people, or is it people who are tech savvy like us but are just busy and like, you know what, I could set it up, but I don't want to?
I don't think it's that. I honestly think it's that there's probably this barrier to entry for the general population of people who are like, I'm interested in smart home devices, but I don't really understand what I have to do here to make them work. It seems like there's a lot of different options. There's a lot of different, you know, is it Z-Wave? Is it blah, blah, blah? You know, what are all these different systems in place? You know, do I need to have an Echo? Do I need to have a Google Home? Do I need to have a Siri? They would definitely say a Siri. You know, like these questions that are just kind of like, okay, they don't feel comfortable enough with the process and with the system in order to make that final step, or they buy them and they never set them up. And so I think this is really smart. I have a feeling, I'm only guessing this based on the URL of one of the links, but I think they're calling them gurus. I don't see that word anywhere on the actual website, but it is in the URL. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's something that they're going to, I don't see it anywhere else, but I may have just missed it. But right now they're calling them, you know, an Amazon expert. But in the URL it says gurus.
Oh yeah, I see that. Cool. Amazon.com. Reference equals gurus underscore SHRUL. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Shrewd URL gurus. Yeah, but maybe I could see them being Amazon gurus. That would make total sense. And I totally get Amazon saying, you know what slows down sales of not only our own products like Amazon Echo, but also all this other smart home stuff that we sell on Amazon is people not wanting to set it up. If at the time of purchase, we can say, hey, if you buy this, you can pay this person to come over and set it up for you, we'll sell more of them.
And that is really a huge benefit that Best Buy and Apple have, is that if you have a problem, you can go in and talk to a person. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder, at least right now, maybe when more Amazon stores start popping up across the country, to go in and talk to a person. But now they need to send the person to you. And I think it's super convenient. And I think that if they're really going to be in this market just for ecosystems and for all the other smart home devices that they sell that connect with that or don't, I think this makes a lot of sense.
I've thought about doing this for things like putting up a television on the wall, right?
Yeah.
That's something I could do, but it sounds tedious and boring and I don't want to do it.
And you know, you're it's going to take forever to like figure out how to mount it right. And you're going to want to have it be perfect. And having someone come do that kind of stuff is just really nice sometimes.
On the other hand, setting up my Amazon Echo, I don't want anyone in my Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but okay. But if you had to figure out like what kind of like light bulbs you wanted in your house that connected to them, and how to set them up, or how to set up all your Wemo switches around the house, or maybe you don't understand how your August smart lock is supposed to work, or you know, there's a lot of different things that connect
to
different
things. I feel
like
that should be more of an online service where I don't have to have anyone in my house, but I say, hey, I've got all these things. Can you walk me through online?
But you're not everyone.
Right.
You're not everyone.
No, that's true. And I'm thinking of my father-in-law in particular, who's super tech savvy. He's a freaking nuclear power plant engineer. Like, he designs things that are very important. We helped him set up his Amazon Echo because it just wasn't obvious to him, right? It wasn't hard. He was just like, okay, where do I start? And I think there may be a lot of people like that who are perfectly smart, but they just like, you know what? I don't live in that all the time. I'm building nuclear power plants. Somebody just tell me where to start with this thing. And that could be handy too.
Totally.
And I think that's where something like Enjoy is pretty appealing, where you're like, I'm just going to buy it from you. You for free will deliver it to me and set it up. Done. Like, that's the whole package.
Yeah, I'm going to actually, my mother-in-law, we were trying to get her to buy a very specific television for her new house. And Ryan put a lot of time figuring out which one would be best for the size and shape of her room and for the cost and for what she wanted services wise. And she ended up picking something that was completely different and way worse because they would come and set it up for her.
Uh-huh.
And so now that I didn't even know these services existed, all these other ones.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, now you can just, you know, return that TV and just get one of these and they'll come and help you do it and they'll do it for you.
Yeah. And then you can pick the right
thing.
That's
great to have. Yeah, totally.
Well, let us know if you're a secret DIFMer or if you're a DIYer who sometimes is like, you know what, but sometimes I actually like to DIFM or whatever. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. And of course, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit and submits stories and votes on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. That's how we found the great Mashable article today. Let's take a moment and check in with Chris Christensen, the amateur traveler, find out what's happening in travel tech.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. It looks like wearables as a category are coming to cruise ships. Princess Cruises is equipping some of their ships with what they call the Ocean Medallion. It can be worn as a wristband or a pendant, and it's a Bluetooth-enabled device. If you've been on a cruise recently, you're familiar with being able to use your room key also as your pass to buy things and put things on your account. This medallion can operate like that, but it also can keep track of where you are. That means that parents can find out where their kids are located on the ship via the medallions, and then also means that you can order a drink and have it delivered to you because they now know where you are, wherever you are in the ship. They're combining it with an app, which you put in a profile, and it can then suggest invitations to events and activities on board or ashore based on your preferences in the profile. So they're trying to add some customization to that as well. It does not seem to track your steps or your calories, so you can find out whether or not you can have that second dessert at the buffet. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
I like how both Veronica and I lit up when they're like, and then they can bring your drinks to you. I'm like, okay.
Now I'm like, tell me more. Seriously, this is the only tech, like this is the only reason why I want to go on a cruise. I've never been on a cruise. I have no desire to go on a cruise. But when I heard about these bracelets and I was like, that's awesome.
You can find out more about travel in general at amateurtraveler.com with Chris Christensen. Thank you, Chris, for checking in. Got a couple of messages before we're out of here. Ron wrote in and said, why do tech experts reviewing the Echo show make fun of its size and talk about how thin smartphone and tablets are nowadays? I have yet to hear anyone claim their smartphone or tablet sounds better than a speakerphone. I like the Echo Dot because it can connect to great sounding speakers, and I don't care to listen to music or DTNS for that matter on a device that sounds like a telephone. Could someone that has listened to the Echo Show speaker with a touchscreen microphone and looks to be the same size as a mono Sonos speaker comment on how the Echo Show sounds? Methinks they might mention how good it sounds for such a small speaker, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. How does it sound, Tom? I don't have one.
You know what? I have a tin ear. It sounds great to me. Then I also, the Echo Dot sounds fine. I can tell the Echo Show is a better sounding speaker.
And
I can tell that the Echo Show is better than the Echo to me. And in fact, Eileen, who does care about the quality of sound and music, always starts music on the Echo Show, not on the Echo.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I want the look.
The Amazon Echo look, mm-hmm. where it tells you what to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Where it just passive aggressively says, "Is that what you're going to wear?"
Like, oh, do you like that sweater?
Are you going out like that? That's not what the Amazon Echo look does. Hey, David Baines, a Patreon supporter, wrote in and said, "Hey, I've been a LastPass user for several years, but when my annual subscription was up in May, I started experimenting with other password managers," which sounds insanely dangerous, but I'm sure he did it very responsibly. He said, "I tried NPass and SafeNCloud and have settled on using Bitwarden for now. I also tried two password managers that are interesting outliers and thought you might find them interesting if you aren't already aware of them. First one is LessPass at LessPass.com. It's interesting in that it isn't a vault. It programmatically recalculates site passwords based on the site ID, username, and a master password. So no passwords are stored anywhere. Has some downsides, but I find the idea fascinating. There's a few of them I've seen trying this kind of approach where it just, all you have to know is what to call the website, and then it creates a hash out of that. The other one is MyKey, but it's spelled M-Y-K-I at myki.co. Like LessPass, MyKey isn't a vault. Your passwords are stored on your phone, and a browser plugin sends a request to your phone, which you then authenticate with your fingerprint. And that sounds a lot
cool.
like the Steve Gibson project. I find both to be interesting solutions to password security and thought they might be interesting to other listeners of the show. I would also love to hear more insight and analysis on them from somebody more security-minded than I am. Thank you, David, for letting us know about those. Those are interesting things. That, not necessarily recommendations either, but just sort of like, hey, here's some cool stuff to go check out.
Yeah, there was a post today that was kind of calling into question 1Password's ability to store passwords in the cloud, mm-hmm. and not have everything saved to a local vault.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of questions right now about especially with the recent break-in into LastPass and some other issues that have been happening around password managers in recent months. It's a big industry. I mean, I definitely still encourage everyone to use a password manager, especially just to randomize your passwords. But taking that next level of, do you have to do a next step of verification or authentication with a separate device? Text messaging can be pretty easily phished or hacked. Mm-hmm. So that's one problem with two-factor. So there's all these questions now about what the best method really is. I like authenticator apps. I think for me, just in terms of password protection, is probably one of my favorite methods right now. But yeah, something where you have to do a fingerprint scan on a second device, that would be pretty rad too.
Yeah. So check out, we'll have links in the show notes at dailytechnewsshow.com. Thank you everyone for writing in. Be careful out there when you're experimenting with your password managers, but do take advantage of the resources. And thank you, Veronica Belmont. Let folks know more about what you've got going on.
Sure. Well, the second episode of IRL is out today. It's our massive net neutrality episode. We're really excited because this week is the Net Neutrality Day of Action on July 12th.
Yeah,
July 12th is coming up. So a ton of different websites all across the internet, all of names that you've heard before, from Mozilla to Pornhub, for example, are all taking part in the Day of Internet Action. And so we do try to talk to someone who is anti-net neutrality and who kind of speaks to why the way we're going about it might not be correct if we do want to keep the net neutral. So it's an interesting episode because I came into it very strongly feeling one particular way, and I still do very strongly feel pro-net neutrality, but I liked getting to talk to someone else who felt differently. So it's a good educational episode. And if you're curious to know like why we still are talking about this, I think it's a good episode to listen to because, it kind of feels like we've been here before.
Yeah. And
now we're here again.
Well, thank you to everyone who gives a little value back to this show for the value they get from the show, including Don Horner, Gaston Milson, Orion McClelland, and many, many more of you. Our goal every month is just to have one more patron than the month before. So thank you to everybody who keeps supporting us at patreon.com/DTNS. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. We're at facebook.com/dailytechnewsshow. And our website, as you could probably guess, is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Allison Sheridan. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
False flag. That was a good show.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm not holding the microphone anymore. It's over here now, so that's a little less in your face.
In your face.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Here.
Stoic Squirrel says the strongest argument I've heard against net neutrality is that it gives too much power to Google and Facebook. That is not net neutrality that gives too much power to Google and Facebook. that's why I said false flag. I'm like, that's taking one problem and attaching it to not the cause of that problem.
Strawman. All right. Alexa called the sheriff, but it did not all wait. Alexa called the sheriff, but
just
it did not all...
Stop saying it, Roger.
Oh, sorry. A called the sheriff, but did not...
So many people's echoes just called the sheriff.
Oh, sorry.
We apologize to sheriff's departments across the country. Yes, that thing called the sheriff, but what?
But it did not all the deputy.
Did not all... Oh, I think it should probably be did not call. Called the sheriff, but did not call the deputy. Got it. I actually really like that one.
Sorry. Next time I'll have it order me some Chinese takeout.
To your address.
That'd be great, even if you live in another state. Three bundles to rule them all.
Mm.
That's a good AI idea. Makes the heartbeat stronger. Patent trolls in space.
In space.
Alphabet's lawsuits are ballooning.
Isn't it amazing how much that dog, Tom, looks like my dog? On the internet,
Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Yes, no, it's a dead ringer. You have like a stunt double for Bodega.
Like ugh, so many. If it's a Goldador, they all Goldadors look exactly alike. It's so weird. It's so weird.
But you were saying, Roger?
Not eaten by a bear, Veronica. That's good news. You made it for the show. An AI after my own heart. Lawsuits filled with hot air. Payments get stripes. Microsoft does a 365 on Windows.
Theirs are not to reason why, but theirs are but to do or DIFM.
That's amazing.
Wait, where do you see that? Oh, that's yes.
That's way down there.
That's good. There's.
There's also somebody put please RTFM then DIFM. Which I think AGC is trying to say, like, you would say this to someone, like, please, you there, sir, read the effing manual, then do it for me. So that kind of works. Life's a bitch, and then you DIFM.
Amazonians fix your techs, and no, it won't be Wonder Woman. That'd be kind of cool.
I don't get it, though. Oh, because Amazon.
Right, okay.
I get it now.
Project Moon takes fight.
Oh. And Azure to bind them one bundle. Do or DIFM.
I kind of like do or DIFM.
I mean, really, it's not. Yeah, it's not all that.
We've got a minute.
Alexa, oh.
Now you're just doing it on purpose.
A called the sheriff and did not call the deputy. Why don't you just change the name to something else?
Well, or just make it so, like with Siri, if I say, hey, Siri, half the time it doesn't even, okay, it worked that time, but it won't set off other people's, right? It will only set up mine. So Just, I know. We had a long episode where we talked about why that's difficult and you want to err on certain sides, and people on podcasts are not their main use case.
A service to DIFM for. What if people just, you randomly called it, or you stuck your head in their home and you shout it out, blah, 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 order this.
I mean, it's low incidence.
Till it happens.
If there are people still listening out there, leave nice reviews for IRL on iTunes.
Right after, you know.
After you do it for Daily Tech News Show.
Okay, so what are we going to do? Three bundles to rule them all, the sheriff but did not call the deputy, or do or DIFM?
I think do or DIFM is my favorite.
Okay.
Do or diffem.
Do or diffem. Yeah. DIFM is the new hot market. We're bullish.
It's such a about face from the DIY.
Something is chugging up my battery and internet. I don't know. Oh, it's probably Microsoft Teams.
Oh. Oh.
That explains it.
There you go.
Ugh. What is it? It is.
Captain Jack in the ass, in the chat room.
Oh,
ass.
No, it's Slack.
Shots fired.
Slack is being
not Microsoft after all. Boom.
Leaky AF.
You need a bigger battery on your laptop.
That's not the point or the problem.
That won't solve anything, Roger. That's just an endless race.
It's just a Band-Aid.
To what? To having your machine on?
You need to fix the problem.
Turn it off.
Not treat the symptoms. Well, we should also treat the symptoms. Treating the symptoms is important. But you shouldn't just...
Well, at some point, the symptoms get so severe that they become a new problem.
Did you say The Simpsons?
No, I said symptoms.
Okay.
The Simpsons,
you know,
The Simpsons.
Because sometimes The Simpsons also get severe.
Are you making fun of my speech patterns?
Yes.
No, Veronica, no, I know, would make fun of my speech patterns.
Yes.
Veronica makes fun of me.
Yes. Yes.
Bellbot.
Yes. What? What'd I do?
You were stuck in the loop.
Oh, see, this is why this is happening. And yes, I was making fun of Roger. Still.
Always and forever.
Let's see if there's any pictures of Ray. You got me thinking of dog pictures.
They're the best pictures.
You should have hashtagged that tweet, a summer of puppies.
Oh, sorry.
It's helping America to look at pictures of puppies instead of getting upset.
Okay. Post a picture of Bodega in her little backpack.
Yes, do that. I want to see that anyway.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite pictures of Django, was her in her little backpack. What did Bodega carry for you on the trip?
She carried her own stuff.
Just her own. You didn't make her carry your water.
No.
We didn't go on like long hikes like you guys were, so we would have Django carrying our water and hers.
You have a little doggy cart they could tow.
Oh yeah, like a little red wagon.
Yeah, don't they make them? They're like kind of like
I feel
like
miniature
right. versions.
I feel like I've
of
seen that.
What do the Native Americans make? That's like a sled. No, because like you wouldn't have wheels at the back. You know what I mean? It would be. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Where is Ray Dog? She's not in any of these pictures. She avoids the cameras. She's out there. She is in the background. Staying away. She's like, no cameras, please. No flash photography. I also think they try to focus on the dogs that are staying there overnight for boarding, you know, because those are the people who are more like, how's my dog doing?
Wait a minute. This person wants to connect with me on LinkedIn, but they say, and I quote, "Happy Monday, Robert." This is my...
Happy Monday, Robert. I have been following your work with great interest.
You've done a lot of amazing things, Robert.
Please send $20 to this address for job interview.
Be sure to put down your name.
You can go see her in her little backpack at Daily Bodega.
Daily Bodega. Mm-hmm. Actually, that just sounds like a shopping guide.
Do you have dailybodega.com or is it just the Instagram?
Just the Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, let me see.
I hate that copying links from Instagram into Twitter doesn't work.
Oh, wow. That's kind of cool. What's the yellow thing in
that? Oh, wow. She looks so happy, too. She's got your mats on her back.
No, that's just her. That's her little bed pad.
Oh, that's her bed pad. Yeah. Oh, nice. It's like, I'm not carrying your stuff. Humans, carry your own.
She did real good.
Good job, Bodega. And Sawyer didn't knock the camera down today, so that's good.
Oh, good. Did that happen?
That happened in my interview with Dan Friday because he has the cone on.
So he's cone of silence. A little
clumsy. Oof. Okay. I think... I haven't done any of that. What? Almost for I got all out of sorts here.
All right, I gotta hit the road, Jack.
All right, Jack. See you later.
I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Goodbye. Good show. Take care. Ride us.
You don't make friends with Sally.
Oh, right. I was going to talk about Diamond Club. So Sergeant Muffin, who has done so much work to make DiamondClub.tv what it is today, can't do it anymore for understandable reasons. He's, you know, taken on more responsibilities as a job and stuff. So he is announced that he's pulling back. Now, the problem with that, if you are someone who likes to watch the show on DiamondClub.tv, is that he can't easily hand over the source code of what's there. So either DiamondClub.tv goes away in a month or so, or someone else needs to step up and rebuild something, which is a big project. So a lot of people are worried that it's just going to go away. Other people are starting to have ideas about, you know, what you could do to make something simpler. But if you are someone who knows how to build websites and knows how DiamondClub.tv could work, by all means, jump on into the chat, irc.chatrealm.net, or just launch the chat from diamondclub.tv and start talking to folks about what can be done. Also helps if you bring bacon. Because you can win friends with bacon. As Zoe Briggs
Some
Bacon
friends,
has
not
proven.
All friends.
True. Doesn't it help with the vegans as much, unless it's vegan bacon, I guess.
Or people who have a religious objection
or
to
an hour have been bitten by the tick that makes them allergic to meat,
or you have a heart condition and your doc has told you to cut
right,
back on.
Right, so there are some exceptions, you know. Dark Redeemer says we might have a solution soon. He's working on something good. W. Scottis 1 says I don't think I can completely rebuild the site, but I have some website coding skills. So yeah, I mean, the idea is we've got a lot of folks in there who can pool their skills together. And I'm just saying it on the stream here in case there's somebody who watches us on the video and didn't know about that. That way, you know. Go check it out. Not yet, Ethan Kane. Yeah, by the way, I want to recognize Ethan Kane in the chat room has been doing a nicer version of our show notes lately. So if you go to Friday's show and you look at the show notes, they're pretty. It's not, there's also still the Google Doc link if you want to get the raw experience, but you can get a much nicer version of it. So, he was asking me just now if he can jump in, and I don't have the actual link published yet. So give me a second and I will tell you in the chat when you can get in there. Do or DIFM. Making sure I get the right link in there. Okay. Description. All that. All right. Okay. You are clear for show notes. I'm out of the post. Boom. Excellent.
Excellent. Excellent.
Okie dokie. There's some people in the chat room are pointing out there's the website, which is easier to figure out, and then there's the CDN, which we don't use to stream to, but a lot of people were. So if you know anything about CDNs and you want to help roll a replacement for that, that could be helpful.
If you know anything about Canadians, too.
Yeah. If you know anything about Canadian dollars, by all means, send us all your Canadian dollars.